we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'm literally playing whack-a-mole here, trying to figure out which headlines to go with. There's so much going on right now. Some good, some bad, some ugly, but there's just a ton of it. Obviously, everybody very focused on the charges against President Donald Trump and the arraignment today in Miami. Definitely going to talk about that and the indictments that should have happened over the last few weeks and months and years instead of these that are happening that should never have happened. So that'll be an interesting topic. I want to start with a piece of good news, though. It was just literally seeing this headline and talking to producer extraordinaire Bobby on the little few minutes we had before going live. And I just have to start with this because, you know, as I've talked about on the program, the Green family, we are a baseball family. Used to be a baseball family. Major League Baseball was something that brought a lot of joy to our family. We traveled around the country speaking for, you know, in a bus for about 10, 15 years. And so the whole family got to go. We went to 28 of the 30 Major League Baseball parks. It was a big part of our life. I coached all my boys in Little League. We did, you know, national tournaments, went up to Cooperstown, played tournaments up there, and went to the Baseball Hall of Fame. So it's just kind of been part of our life for a long time until 3 years ago. And we went, you know, totally. I have not been to a game. I have not spent a penny with MLB since they went totally woke. And that was when they embraced all of the Black Lives Mafia, or as one of our callers informed me, Black Lives Maoist, which I think is great. Great way to describe it. Anyway, we've just avoided it completely. And so when they've continued to go more and more woke over the last couple of years, last year doing the whole Pride Month, they had Pride jerseys, and then you had the big dust-up with, I believe it was Tampa Bay Rays, and the pitching staff there said, we're not going to do it. And anyway, so we've had a handful, just a handful, unfortunately a disappointing small number of MLB players that have said, absolutely not, I will not participate in this evil and in this deviancy, and I will not promote this stuff to children through Major League Baseball. And so there's only been a few, very small handful that have done that, but there was a few of them last year that did that. And then, of course, we talked about it last week, there's been, you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers embracing the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is absolutely disgusting. These are men dressed up as nuns doing incredibly disgusting, horrible, deviant things. And the Los Angeles Dodgers invited them and then uninvited them and then invited them back and apologized and just groveled. And now they've got a whole night dedicated to them, I think later this month. I can't remember. And so there's just been a little bit of pushback within the Dodgers team. Not enough. A couple of players have basically made public statements saying they do not agree with this. I think any player that is... let's just say is a man, should say, I'm not playing. I'm not going to play on the night that you highlight and promote these disgusting people that are mentally ill, that embrace Satanism and all kinds of other things. It's just beyond the pale. I mean, the fact that we have to even talk about this and have to encourage men to stand up against this is crazy. Anyway, all of that to lead to the good news. The good news, the headline I'm looking at right now, Major League Baseball strikes all Pride jerseys. Okay, I don't know. I haven't verified this. This is from the Washington Stand, WashingtonStand.com, but I do see a quote from my friend Joseph Backholm at Family Research Council. Fantastic guy. Used to head up the Washington Family Policy Council up there, and we still show videos that Joseph has done on college campuses where he interviewed. Anyway, he's just a great guy. Anyway, he says, this is his quote, this is a great example of what happens when a few people show some courage. It was always unreasonable to ask players to communicate a message they disagreed with, and when a few said no, the league was forced to justify what they were doing and couldn't. Everyone but the bullies win in this situation. So, I mean, this, if I'm reading this right, This means that they're not going to have, you know, the uniforms with the pride flag and all that. And right here in the middle of quote-unquote Pride Month, we may finally have some capitulation in the right direction, right? They've been capitulating to the left and the woke and the deviancy and everything else. I will say, even though I have not attended a game, watched a game, not even watched a single inning of my beloved Texas Rangers. I am a Rangers fan big time, and even went to one of the World Series games back in 2011 when they were in the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals, my second favorite team. Man, I got to see some great, great stuff. I mean, this was when Napoli was playing for the Rangers and Pujols was playing for the Cardinals. Anyway, apparently Texas Rangers, my team that I haven't claimed for 3 years, they refused to have a Pride Night. So I don't know if that had anything to do with this capitulation, but I just got to tell you folks, I am thrilled with the headline itself, that Major League Baseball strikes all pride jerseys. That are we finally going to say, can we just get back to playing sports, folks? Can we? I mean, I'm a political guy, right? I mean, this is what I do. I talk about the culture and the biblical perspective on everything that's happening in the nation, on all of these issues. There's not a single issue I will shy away from. But when it comes to playing sports and baseball, football, basketball, whatever, you know, hockey, whatever your sport might be, I just wish we could go back to enjoying the athletics of it and it being something that unites us. I mean, baseball especially used to be, right? Baseball, motherhood, apple pie. I mean, that was the American pastime. And for them to go woke, it hurt me to the core, I'll be honest with you. So I would love it. I would love it if MLB would get their act together, stop cowering to these deviants and these woke people, and get back to just playing sports. As I've said on the program several times, we left baseball completely 3 years ago. We went to UFC, so that has become our family sport now. I mean, Saturday night for us as a family is on the porch watching UFC. Why? Because Dana White kept it a free speech environment and kept it a non-woke environment for the most part. I will say I have been concerned with the advertising. That's because once UFC went with ESPN, ESPN is obviously woke. That's owned by Disney. And so they've been pushing the woke agenda and a whole lot of homosexual junk just through the advertising. Not UFC itself, which is why I haven't made a point of this yet. But for us as a family, UFC became the sport. And the cool thing there, folks, is we have found some really amazing men of God standing up in that arena. And I know for some of you this may seem a little bit weird. You may be like, man, that's really brutal stuff, and I'm not for fighting and that kind of thing. And we could debate that another time. I will say that was my initial reaction when I first started watching UFC. I was like, whoa, this stuff's a little bit... But now that I've watched it a lot, I realize how much of a sport it is and how much these guys and gals train and are truly professional athletes. It's actually remarkable, especially the jiu-jitsu and the just the chess match that takes place in these fights. And anyway, we've gotten to know a couple of these guys really well. Benil Dariush is a good friend of ours, has stayed at our house and been to our home multiple times and speaks every year to Patriot Academy and to the students. And the reason I did that, the reason I brought Benil in, is because I was watching one of his fights, and he has this great victory. It was a big deal, and he gets the microphone. Right? If you ever watch UFC at the end, you know, Joe Rogan is usually the one doing it. Sometimes it's DC. But anyway, Joe Rogan, famous for doing this, you know, interviews them after the fight. And I'm watching this fight with Benil Dariush. I don't know who he is at the time. And he walks into the fight with his hands raised, looking to the sky, and it's Lauren Daigle. It's one of her songs that's playing, Rise Up, you know. And I'm going, who is this guy? And then he wins the fight, and then after the fight, he gets the microphone, and he starts talking about the victims of Marxism and how great America is and all of this. And I'm going, okay, who is this guy? And then afterwards, in the press conference, they're asking him, why did you come into Lauren Daigle and you know, raising your hands in praise to God? And he said, listen, I am blessed to get to be at my worst, a total savage for 15 minutes in the cage. God lets me do that for some reason so that I can then have a platform to bring glory to him. So when I walk into the arena, I have to remember grace. I have to remember what God's done for me. And so that's why I walk into that song. So I saw that. I was like, okay, I got to find this guy. I got to know who this guy is. So I emailed everybody I could find. I was just searched for him. I found his gym in L.A. and emailed everybody I could and told him about Patriot Academy. And the next day he texted me and said, yes, I love what you guys are doing. I'd be willing to come speak. And here's my philosophy on that. The reason I bring him in to talk to the Patriot Academy students, I bring in people from every area of the culture to put in front of these 16 to 25-year-olds to show them that God can use you no matter where you've been planted, no matter what the circumstances of your life, no matter what's going on in your world, no matter what your background is, God can use you to further his kingdom. And so I do that with business people, with people in the political arena, people in ministry, people that are in the arts and entertainment, musicians. I mean, you name it. We had John Cooper there last year from Skillet. And anyway, Benil was just a perfect, I was like, man, this would be a great example. And he comes and he speaks to the kids and he's actually kind of soft-spoken in terms of his voice, but bold in what he says. Bold, so bold in what he says. In fact, the last fight that he won, which was, I think, last year, he gets the microphone and he says, he's from Iran, actually. He's an Assyrian Christian. And so he understands tyranny, man. He knows his wife's from Vietnam. She understands communism and tyranny. So when he gets the microphone last year, he actually says, I want to speak to my people in Iran. I know you're hurting. I know you're being abused. There's a freedom you can know even while you're living in tyranny. And it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, it was just an incredible, just a quick explanation of the gospel. Literally in a cage right there in a UFC fight, but with a world audience, including those in Iran. So that's who Benil is, and that's why we as a family switched from MLB to UFC, is finding guys like Benil. Michael Chandler, another one like that, just an outspoken Christian. Got to meet him a couple of weeks ago at the Turning Point Pastors Conference. And there's just a bunch of these guys. I've been amazed. In fact, I was just doing a show and talking about a tweet from another guy, Jake Shields, who I was not familiar with, an MMA guy, that was talking about, you know, shame and the reason that we should not have this tolerance to the point of tolerating anything and everything, and that's how the culture falls apart. So anyway, I'm, you know, rambling a little bit on this one issue, but I will say to my buddy Benil, who had the biggest fight of his life last Saturday, and lost to another Christian fighter and phenomenal guy, Charles Oliveira, the former champ who has been on just a terror, a phenomenal fighter out of Brazil, lost the championship a year ago to this guy, Islam Makhachev. And so Benil, biggest fight of his life against Charles. If he had won, he would then have been fighting for the world championship. He lost. He was winning that first round, and then man, Charles Oliveira is just incredible. Ends up taking out Benil. Tough defeat for my buddy. But I loved heard from him later that night, early in the morning. He was okay, and just love this man. And then saw that he, you know, tweeted out, God is good, and he'll heal up and he'll be back. But God, I believe, is going to continue to expand Benil's platform and give Benny the opportunity to share the gospel, not only, you know, from the cage with the microphone, but also just speaking and traveling the country. He does a lot of men's conferences. He's actually out of one of the Calvary chapels there in California. It might be Jack Hibbs Church. I can't remember which one he goes to, but anyway, all of that to say, maybe Major League Baseball will come back. Maybe it will get away from this woke stuff and I'll be able to watch UFC and Major League Baseball once again, because I still love baseball. And I got a grandson that's going to start playing baseball soon, so I would like to come back to that world. I was impressed with the Oklahoma Sooner gals that had a press conference and shared the gospel right there in their press conference. So, you know, I think it's cool how God can use sports to spread his word, even a sport like UFC. So shout out to my buddy, Benny Dardiush, and I just want you to know I'm thankful for the witness that you share. We'll be right back, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you this Tuesday, always on Tuesday and Thursday, sometimes filling in for Walker on the other days, but Walker's got you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Thank you for listening every day. I'm going to just rattle off some of these headlines and then jump specifically into the Trump arraignment today and the indictment. Also, I want you to look forward to Thursday. I've got some great interviews coming up this Thursday. If you have never heard of John Amanchukwu, you need to. Erasedbook.com. This guy is, man, he's a for such a time as this, great voice. I've tag teamed with him on some events in the past, but I've invited him to come give the charge at Patriot Academy this summer at our big national congress because I just think he is the guy that God's using in many ways. He's speaking at these school boards across the country. It's just good stuff. But anyway, we'll get to hear from him directly this Thursday. But some of the stuff that's going on out there, this is this one actually surprised me because the LGBTQ plus whatever letters there are community, you know, is so peaceful and tolerant, right? So they're all about tolerance, right? So they're supposed to be peaceful. Multiple Target stores, this is the headline on Daily Wire. Multiple Target stores across U.S. hit with bomb threats for betraying the LGBTQ community. So these are not bomb threats from, you know, they're going to obviously try to, this is the radical right. This is these people that, you know, bomb abortion clinics. Yeah. No, this is the LGBT. These are the people like, you know, the gal that shot up the Nashville school. These are the peaceful, tolerant LGBTQ, X, whatever the letters are that they've added since they add more every day. That's folks, that ought to tell you something. Bomb threats against Target from the LGBTQ community. When you bow to the mob and you give into the mob and then you try to back off even the least little bit, which all Target did was move the stuff to the back of the store instead of having it at the front of the store, which of course the stuff we're talking about is the disgusting, you know, bathing suits for guys to try to look like girls and the other stuff that they did. Anyway, I just have to point that out because we always want to, you know, highlight the peaceful tolerance of the left that never exist. Okay, Justice Thomas issued a critical 50-page dissent. This is in the Epoch Times. Issued a critical 50-page dissent in that Supreme Court case that I was very unhappy with from a week or so ago. This was where they struck down Alabama's redistricting. I am so sick and tired of the federal government telling states how to draw their lines, claiming that the lines are racist, that not enough blacks or not enough Hispanics or not enough whites or whatever. This racism of drawing political lines based on the color of skin, that is absolute racism. That is pure racism. And these federal Department of Justice, and they're doing it all from the 1965 Voting Rights Act. It's an absolute distortion of what states should be allowed to do. They ought to be allowed to draw the lines for their congressional districts based on population and whatever, you know, the gerrymandering that happens. It's actually the Department of Justice that requires gerrymandering. They're the ones that require you to draw districts to guarantee that someone is elected with a particular color of skin. That is racist. So DOJ, get out. Get out of our states. And let the states do this however they want to do it, whatever makes sense. Some people do it through a commission. Most people do it through the state legislatures. It's always going to be political. It's been political since gerrymandering began. Guess where the name comes from? Jerry is Elbridge Gerry. How old is Elbridge Gerry? Elbridge Gerry was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Yeah, he's the little guy. The one that I tell the story about all the time that came up and, you know, was getting ready to sign the Declaration of Independence. He's so small. He's such a little guy. I'm a little guy, okay? I'm not saying this is some, you know, 7-foot Thor-like figure, okay? I'm 5'8 with my boots on. Elbridge Gerry would be considered small compared to even me. He comes up to sign the Declaration of Independence. It's been silent up until he's called forward. And the big guy, the largest of the founders, Colonel Benjamin Harrison from the back of the room says, "I shall have a great advantage over you, Mr. Gerry. When we're hung for what we're now doing, by the size and great weight of my body, I'll be dead within a minute or two. By the lightness of yours, you're going to dance in the air for an hour or more before you finally die." True story. only words spoken during the signing of the Declaration. It's in letters from John Adams and Benjamin Rush back and forth talking about that day, the somber occasion, and how when Benjamin Harrison broke the silence with that joke, everybody laughed for a second, and then it dawned on them what he was saying. He was saying, we're going to die. And so they stopped laughing. Anyway, that's Elbridge Gerry. Gerrymandering comes from what he was doing in Massachusetts all the way back in the founding era. What am I saying? I'm saying you're always going to have politics trying to manipulate these districts to favor a particular political party. That is the nature of the beast. It's always going to happen. You clamp down on it as much as you can, but that's the nature of the beast. This ridiculous interference from the federal government has got to stop, and Clarence Thomas makes that case in his 50-page dissent. I just wanted to point it out because it was a bad Supreme Court decision, which just to point out, Ron DeSantis is right when he says that Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito are the true conservatives on the court and that none of Donald Trump's picks are as conservative or as good as Thomas and Alito. I've made this point many times myself. So DeSantis was right when he said that in the interview yesterday or day before yesterday, and everybody criticized him for criticizing those three picks of Donald Trump. He wasn't even really criticizing them as much as to say, somebody asked him, you know, what kind of Supreme Court justices will you appoint? Who will they be modeled after? And he's pointing out that his picks would be more like Thomas and Alito than they would be like Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Barrett. Well, I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm like, what? That was terrible. You shouldn't do that on the air. You can't see my fist in the circular motion here. Okay. Anyway, I would be cheering him on if those were his kind of appointments, because that's exactly what I have said. Thomas and Alito are the model. Those are my guys, man. Clarence Thomas is my favorite Supreme Court justice in my lifetime. Always has been. I watched his hearings when I was in law school, and then he turned out to be absolutely the most constitutional, the strongest in adhering to the Constitution of any Supreme Court justice in my lifetime. And then Sam Alito, a very close second. They were the ones that handed down all those great decisions last summer. Though Gorsuch did do the Kennedy case, so give him props where props are due. And Gorsuch and Barrett and Kavanaugh have been there on a few of the key issues like Dobbs, but they've also completely bailed on us on key issues like the COVID crackdowns. Barrett has been terrible on that stuff. She sided with big government on a lot of that stuff, totally unconstitutional stuff. And Kavanaugh again goes off the rails with John Roberts on this decision, striking down Alabama's redistricting lines. And so anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Thomas is the model. This is a great dissent that he wrote, pointing out why the government needs to get out of this and leave it to the states. Okay, also another quick headline, and then yes, I will get to the Donald Trump arraignment, I promise. Zuckerberg admits that the government tried to get him, and he did it, to censor not only the election stuff with the Biden laptop, but COVID-19 post that he says now ended up being true. What's he saying? Mark Zuckerberg is admitting that big government came in and silenced scientific dissent against the national narrative of the Center for Demented Confusion, which is, of course, the CDC. They made Zuckerberg silence people like these doctors that were literally treating COVID patients. You might remember me talking about the fact the first time I was put in Facebook jail during COVID-19 was when I shared a post from Tony Robbins sharing an interview with these two medical doctors, I believe in California, who were simply sharing what they found. They were just saying, we've treated 5,000 COVID patients. This works. This doesn't work. This sometimes works. This, here's what we found. It's young. It's not young people. You don't have to worry about that. It's the older people. I mean, all of this was science. It was medicine. And we were sharing that. And Mark Zuckerberg put me in jail for it. Silenced our dissent. Silenced us sharing, scientists and doctors. Peter McCullough, Robert Malone, all of these people that said from the beginning what turns out now to be true, and Zuckerberg's admitting it. He's actually saying, yeah, the stuff that we shut down, the stuff that we silenced turned out to be true. So just, I mean, truth is coming out, folks. We're finally getting the truth on some of these things, and that's good. Okay, now over to Trump, and I need a 3-hour program. We need to talk to Walker about this. Maybe this program needs to be 3 hours. Okay, I'm going to try to distill this down as quickly as I can, and hopefully be able to take your phone calls in our final segment because there's so much to cover, so much that's been done wrong, very little that's been done right on all of these FBI situations. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888. We'll get to as many of those calls as we can, maybe later in this segment, but most likely in the final segment. Here's the deal. Donald Trump being indicted over these classified documents. Okay, first of all, right out of the chute, the elephant in the room is that the President of the United States absolutely 100% can declassify any of this stuff that he wants. Now, we don't know yet for sure how much of it he actually declassified, how does that declassification take place based on the Constitution, not based on a bunch of rules that some agency and a bunch of bureaucrats put in place, but does he have Article 2 of the Constitution, Article 2 power to declassify this stuff as he wishes? If he takes it and takes it from the White House, has he by his action declassified it? I don't know. We'll get into the semantics of that, but without question, he single-handedly has the power to declassify any of this stuff. And Jim Jordan makes that case on CNN. He basically silences Dana Bash on this thing and quotes whatever the Supreme Court decision was that clarifies this and says absolutely the president has complete power to do that. So that's the elephant in the room. That's the what essentially erases all of this and makes and clearly shows it to be a witch hunt. Clearly shows it to be exactly what the Russian collusion and all of that nonsense was. This is nothing more than Democrats and a taken federal agency that has been turned into a weaponized law enforcement agency, the Department of Justice and the FBI, going after a former president who is the leading candidate for president for the Republicans by far. And you know, I'm friendly to DeSantis and Trump both. So I think Trump's the best president of my lifetime. DeSantis is the best governor of my lifetime. So, you know, either way. But Trump clearly the front runner. So he's clearly the greatest threat to the sitting Democrat president, and the sitting Democrat president's Department of Justice is still going after his political opponent. That alone is banana republic, third world country stuff. And you say, oh, but no one's above the law. Well, really, is no one above the law? Because Joe Biden is guilty of doing everything they're accusing Donald Trump of when he did not have the presidential power to declassify this stuff. So get the clear picture here. Donald Trump, President of the United States, with Article 2 power to declassify any of these documents, is being chased by the Department of Justice and FBI for documents that he took to his residence as president, and then Joe Biden, as vice president, had tons of documents. Remember, I mean, we need to record the song. Here a document, there a document, everywhere a document. By the Corvette in the garage, at the University of Delaware, at Penn, where he had his think tanks and all this stuff. Biden documents everywhere when he was vice president and did not have the power to declassify those documents. And I think Newt Gingrich probably has the best summation of all of this. And I'm not going to have time to. I wanted to read a lot of his article. But if you go to the Epic Times, we'll have this link at AFR today. Newt Gingrich has a fantastic document, a fantastic article called The Wrong Indictments, where he details out how Joe Biden and his little fiefdoms over at the Universities of Pennsylvania and Delaware, where he, by the way, tapped a bunch of his appointments now in his presidency. At these universities, they got all kinds of money from the Chinese government, which is illegal. So they got all of these, I mean, literally like $60 million at the University of Pennsylvania, $6 or $7 million at the University of Delaware, where a ton of Joe Biden's documents were. And then he turns around and appoints these people that had been overseeing this stuff and receiving illegal dollars from the Chinese. So who should be indicted here? The people at the University of Pennsylvania, at the University of Delaware, and absolutely Joe Biden and a whole lot of folks from his cabinet, that including, by the way, Blinken. I mean, think about it. Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, was in the middle of all of this Chinese money going to the Penn Biden Center and the University of Pennsylvania, and he's now our chief diplomat. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. There should be movies made about the drama of this corruption, let alone we haven't even started talking about Hunter Biden and the $5 million payoff to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, which now, according to members of the United States Senate and the United States Congress, the FBI is finally admitting they have recordings. We have recordings of the corruption scheme, of the bribery. So there's 17 recordings from this Burisma official. There's documentation of this stuff, and nobody's talking about it on the left. Nobody at CNN's talking about it. Nobody. They don't. I mean, folks, the FBI covered this stuff up to protect the Biden crime family and then turned around and projected onto Donald Trump as if he was doing it when he actually wasn't. I mean, that's how bad this is. I don't know how you can make it. I don't know how you can exaggerate it. You can't. We don't even have time to cover all of the corruption. That's what we're faced with here, folks. Go read that article by Newt Gingrich. We'll have a link to it so you can see it. We're out of time for this segment. We'll take your phone calls in the next segment, 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with us, folks. We're just now getting excited. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Rick Green here, America's Constitution Coach, with you this afternoon. It's time to get to the phones. So much we could talk about. 888-589-8840. We will let you pick the topics for the rest of the program for our final segment today. Let's go. Let's see. Don in Virginia. Don calling in from Virginia. What's your comment or question or insult today, Don? Go for it, man.
Thanks for taking my call. As we talk about legal and illegal versus the Trump issue, I want to know if Stormy Daniels, which, by the way, is an alias, accepted $130,000 for services rendered. Did she report it as income and pay the taxes due on that income?
Good question. You know, I'd never heard anybody raise that part of that sordid affair. I don't know. I have no idea. That's a really good question. Nobody, you know, it's almost like whatever's bad for Trump they want to talk about, whatever might tell the other side of the story or maybe shed a not so good light on the folks accusing Trump of something is never covered. And please, folks, I am no Trump sycophant. I'm not a Trump, you know, just defend him at all costs. He's not, you know, the savior to me. He's not perfect. He's flawed, just like you and me. We're all flawed jars of clay. I'm going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly about all these people, DeSantis, Trump, whoever it is. But man, oh man. When we have a two-tier justice system that entirely goes after, wrongfully, and I believe, especially in the documents case, wrongfully goes after one side and then ignores, covers up, and allows for blatant corruption, bribery, abuse of the system for the other side, we're going to call it out without question. In fact, we're going to get really passionate about it because there's a sense of justice in us all. There's a sense of justice that calls for biblical justice. What is biblical justice versus social justice? Biblical justice means that you treat everybody the same. You don't have a two-tier justice system. You have equal weights and measures. You have you treat the rich and the poor, the left and the right, everybody the same. The rule of law is what we're after. Social justice is what the left wants. That's why you have what you have right now, because from their perspective, the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter what the law actually says. What matters is who can you prosecute and who can you protect. That's all they care about. So everybody's judged not on the content of their character and whether or not they actually committed a crime or what the law actually says. They are judged based on the color of their skin. They are judged based on their political affiliation. They are judged based on their connections and who they are helping or not helping. That is evil, third world, banana republic stuff. It has no place in America. It should be rooted out and stamped out. And that's why Newt Gingrich is right, that the people that need to be indicted are the people at the FBI, folks. We need to be indicting the FBI agents that corrupted the system here. We need to be indicting the people in the FBI and the Department of Justice that abused the system here. Those are the people that we should be actually calling on the car. That's how you get faith in the system restored. If you don't actually go after the bad players, and you, even if Trump, let's say Trump's found not guilty and everybody says, oh, well, look, the system worked. No. Excuse me. No, that's not enough. You have to root out the corruption. You have to go after these FBI agents that the Durham report says that they absolutely violated their oaths of office. They lied to FISA court judges. They pursued a case they knew was a lie in order to bring down Donald Trump. They leaked phony information in order to undermine Trump in the campaign. They, all of them, as Newt Gingrich points out, and I think Newt's article is must reading for everybody. Go read the article we talked about in the last segment. I don't want to go to. And by the way, I haven't even talked about, how does Abe say it? The woman who will never be president. I forget how he says it. But anyway, she who shall never be president, she should be indicted. How do you destroy 30,000 evidentiary emails? And nobody bats an eye. How is Donald Trump indicted on these documents that were not destroyed, and she is not indicted for 32,000 emails, even has someone in her staff destroy a hard drive with a hammer, and they don't face any consequences? I mean, if this is not... Here's the good news. The good news is this is so blatant and so crystal clear, anyone with half a brain sees the evil in it and says this has to stop. So you know, if this has been going on a long time, and when it happened to the people from January 6th that were at the Capitol and did no violence, literally just walked around, sang worship songs, prayed over the Capitol, when it happened to people like that who did not have the money, the manpower, the platform to fight back and get the word out there what was happening to them, and did not happen to the Black Lives Mafia and Antifa and the people that burned cities, killed police officers, killed others, destroyed cities, did billions of dollars of damage and tons of physical violence. When they were not prosecuted, but yet these people from January 6th were prosecuted, very few people knew about it. Very few people knew about the disparity there because these J6 people did not have the platform. Donald Trump has the platform to bring this disparity and this corruption and this two-tier justice system into the forefront. In other words, to shine light on it, to bring it into the minds of the American people so that we can then respond with that welling up of righteous anger and with this sense of biblical justice that we want. So all in all, I say this is good. All in all, this will bring about a reckoning and a revival. This will bring about a restoration of blind justice, equal justice, biblical justice that we all want, because it's right in our face. Everybody can see it. That's what I'm praying for. I hope that happens. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's see. How about... Oh, my buddy Cornelius in Louisiana. Of course I'm going to call on Cornelius. He gave me Black Lives Maoist. Cornelius, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, Rick, look. I was just telling your call screener, he's a great guy. I love him. And make sure you put your flag out tomorrow. Tomorrow's Flag Day. So we got to support our
love
veterans
good,
and stuff.
Good reminder. Yes, man. Absolutely.
Look, the CDC... Centers for Devil Control. So that's a new one you can take with you and stuff. And if you ever look me up, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold Man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans Man. You can look me up on Wikipedia.
God, Guns, and Gold. I love it.
Well, I love you, Rick. I'm going to let somebody else take over. God bless you, and God bless America.
Hey, God bless you, Cornelius. Thanks for calling in today. Bless you, man, and thanks for giving me good acronyms that I can use out there. Good stuff. All right, let's go to Tennessee. Mark in Tennessee, thanks for calling in. Mark, what's your comment or question today?
Well, my comment is all these things that are happening on the global scene and on our national scene are all fiery devil darts. And we have to quench those darts with spiritual weapons, because we are in it. Ultimately, it's a spiritual warfare between darkness and light. And if we don't fight with spiritual weapons, we're not going to win the battle. But we know when we read the 21st chapter of Revelation, we win.
Amen, brother. Amen. Absolutely right, Mark. Thanks for that call. It absolutely is a spiritual battle. You can see it. We're seeing things that we read about in the Bible come true right before our eyes. I don't want to go too far down this rabbit trail for today, because I've actually got an interview coming up on Thursday about this. But the whole World Health Organization and the way that we're moving towards a one world government, we're giving them this stuff. And I used to laugh at people that would talk about one world government. I always thought, you know, it's tinfoil hat stuff. It's not going to happen in our generation. It's way down. Man, we're there. I was wrong. We're there. And so we've got Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann going to be on this Thursday, because she was over there for this summit that they had, and she watched this stuff firsthand. So we'll get a report from her of how close we are to this stuff happening and why it's so important for us to pay attention to that. It is absolutely a spiritual battle. We've got to use the spiritual weapons, and we've got to act. We've got to do the John Hancock thing. I urge you, by all that's dear, by all that's sacred, by all that's honorable, not only to pray, but to act. We need to make sure we're doing both, 100%. Okay, we got Lee in Kansas, heading up to Kansas now. Lee, how you doing? What's your comment or question today?
All right. Thank you for your information. Helped us very well get informed. I was wondering, when I asked you last time, I called about Biden being held for treason. You said it wouldn't work now, and I would like to know why it won't work.
I don't remember that conversation, honestly. I don't remember what my reasons were then. I would say, just off the top of my head, it would just be politically difficult to do it. I'm not saying he hasn't committed treason. I think the border crisis is treason. I think what they've done in opening the border is absolutely treason. I think Mayorkas should be impeached. I think Biden should be impeached for it. Kamala Harris is supposedly the border czar for this administration. I think from a technical point of view, absolutely, and I would support that. But I think from a political perspective, political practicality, it would not be held up. There wouldn't be a conviction in the Senate, and I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to happen at this point, though. I think there will be. Well, in fact, I think there's articles of impeachment being dropped today by it's a freshman member of the House. I'm not familiar with them, but I saw that they are filing articles of impeachment against Biden for all of this corruption. Apparently, I mean, look, the guy took a bribe. He bragged about it, or bragged about the result. He didn't let people know that he had gotten $5 million. But if everything that they're saying is true, and there's recordings and documentation and witnesses, if he took the $5 million bribe and then withheld $1 billion in aid to Ukraine, back when he was vice president, in order to get them to fire the prosecutor that was going after the company that his son sat on the board of, this is not a stretch. These are not dots that are hard to connect. This is obvious, in your face, bribery and scandal. And at the highest level, if this is not a high crime and misdemeanor for which someone should be impeached, I don't even know what would be. All right, let's go to Dennis in Mississippi. Dennis, and by the way, everybody else out there, the phone number, 888-589-8840, even though we're down to our final 5 minutes. Go for it, Dennis.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, man, you're the constitutional master, brother. I just wanted to touch up on a few things. First of all, you know, Benil Dariush, man, I really love the guy. He's really good. And I saw that fight, and it really inspired me to do more for me and my family. God bless you, what you do. God bless the United States. I do also want to mention, Dana White might be, you know, in the front saying, oh, yeah, freedom of speech. But I do remember him having an interview saying that after John Jones won, he said something about, don't put the religion in everybody's face. Leave it to yourself. So you gotta be careful. He's kind of a backdoor.
Absolutely, man. I remember that. I was not happy with him when he said that, for sure. And he backed off of that. That's been about 4 or 5 years ago, and he did back off of that and has not. I haven't heard him say anything negative about Beniel or Michael Chandler or any of the other guys that have been pretty outspoken about their faith. And I think part of the problem was that Jones obviously had, you know, major problems that were in the public eye, and so it just seemed it just seemed at the time to be disingenuous or hypocritical or using that, you know, and you never know what someone's heart is. And it looks like Jones has turned his life around and returned to the faith. And hopefully, you know, I pray God blesses him. I'm glad to see him as champ again. He's definitely the GOAT and the greatest of all time, for sure. So really, really interesting to see. I actually, too, Dennis, I had the chance to ask Dana White a couple of questions one time. I went as a reporter for Daily Wire to a UFC fight and got to be backstage and interview all the guys, and it was when Brandon Moreno got the belt the first time and got to interview him. But I also got to interview Dana White, and I actually asked him some questions about free speech and what UFC was doing to open up. This was back when this was their first live event. During the pandemic, I don't even like calling it the pandemic anymore. It was their first live event, and so it was a really, I think, really important thing that UFC did to open up live events, bring people in, no mask, all of that, and show that you can do this, and the world's not going to fall apart, and you're not going to have millions of people dying as a result of going to that event. And so I was thrilled to get to do that, and had a great time there. But you're 100% right on those comments that he had. Whenever that was, I can't remember now when it was. A few years back. And speaking of which, by the way, as we're wrapping this thing up for today, there was another headline that I wanted to mention if I can find it, where the State Department is actually admitting, if I read this headline correctly, that the Chinese Wuhan virus, let's not forget what Trump called it from the beginning, was accurate, was a bioweapon. Absolutely a bioweapon developed by the Chinese military. You're not seeing that anywhere. Now, I remember some of us suggesting that might be the case way back in March and April of 2020, and we were crazy. They called us absolute conspiracy theorists and warmongers and xenophobes and everything else. Turns out, probably true. We'll find out. I mean, even the State Department now, apparently, saying that could be the case. We, of course, know that it's a lab-created virus, and it was a bioweapon, no doubt about it. What most people don't want to admit is that Anthony Fauci, Pope Frouchy, the man that did more harm to this country than anyone in our history, who should be in jail, absolutely should be prosecuted, that he was part of all that as well. Okay, I'll leave you right there, folks. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate you being a part of the American Family Radio family. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You have been listening to At the Core.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.